Welcome to the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, Live the Big Stuff podcast with New York Times bestselling author, Christine Carlson. Chris shares don't sweat wisdom to help you achieve greater mental health, self-compassion, and better communication with family, friends, and coworkers. Listen in and learn simple ways to live your most vibrant life of joy.
Hi, and welcome back to the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, Live the Big Stuff podcast. This is Christine Carlson. Before we begin with our interview today, let's go ahead and take our golden pause. So wherever you are, sit comfortably. And if you can't sit and just focus on your breath and your golden pause, then do whatever it is you're doing and use this as a deep breathing exercise to get uber present in your body and just present. So let's begin. If you can, sit comfortably and cross your legs, place your palms open on your lap, and let's just breathe together, shall we? Breathing in through your nose, allowing your chest and your belly to fully expand, taking in the fullness of your breath. And on the exhale, just release, relax, and let go. Sink inward into your breath, into your body. And breathing in pure golden sunlight to every cell of your being. On the exhale, just let go of what doesn't serve you well so that you can be really present in this moment, right here, right now. And breathing in pure golden sunlight through your core, through your heart, through your mind. On the exhale, just let go of any tension you feel. Let your body relax. And taking a deep breath in of pure golden sunlight to every cell of your being, place your hand on your heart, activating your heart, opening your heart, and spend a moment thinking of one thing you feel grateful for. And as you breathe in that golden gratitude to every cell of your being, just continue to let go, exhale, release, and relax. And breathing in that pure golden gratitude to the top of your head, to the tips of your fingers and your toes. Just allow yourself to enjoy the feeling of joy that gratitude brings. And as you fill up with golden gratitude to every cell of your being, on the exhale, go ahead and allow that gratitude to wash over you like a cascading waterfall of pure joy. And breathing in pure golden gratitude again to the top of your head, to the tips of your fingers and your toes. On the exhale, allow it to wash over you again, cascading waterfall of pure joy. And taking one last deep breath in of pure golden gratitude. On the exhale, go ahead and open your eyes. All right. Well, I'm super excited about this interview that we have today with dating coach Evan Mark Katz. He is the author of 4 books, and he's been featured in hundreds of media outlets since 2003. His blog has over 35 million readers. Wow. His podcast has over 2.5 million downloads, and 13,000 women have taken Love You, his video course that helps smart, successful women find love. Evan is happily married and lives in Los Angeles. Well, welcome, Evan, to my podcast.
I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So I think that what would be really great is if we had a conversation about how women who find themselves suddenly out into the dating world again after many, many years, how can they kind of begin to educate themselves on how to date and then how to understand dating from the male perspective. I think that's so beautiful that you offer that, because oftentimes, you know, there's this chasm of misunderstanding and non-awareness of the difference between men and women. So let's begin there. When you have a woman who has trepidation around dating, where do you start with her and when you coach her?
In Love You, again, I'm not here to sell my program, but in Love You, the entire first month of the course, before we do anything resembling dating, is about confidence, belief, mindset, because people only come to a dating coach when they're reaching bottom. I just turned 60 and my life is not where I thought it would be. I just got divorced after 30 years and I'm starting over and I don't know where to begin. So there's just a whole bunch of fear. And that fear is positively paralyzing, right? There's fear of being alone for the rest of your life. There's fear of rejection, fear of sex with the new person, fear of being in another relationship where you feel neglected and repeating the same mistakes of the past. So there's all these fears swirling around. So before we throw anybody into the deep end of the pool and ask them to start dating, we need to get them to acknowledge and address and get to the other side of those fears.
Yeah, I can see how that's so important, because you wouldn't want to send somebody out dating that's like a deer in the headlights. I mean, that would be that isn't going to be attractive, and it's going to be make it very, very hard, isn't it? So that's beautiful. And the confidence piece, that's really, really important. So you really do help build the woman's confidence. And
it's hard to be confident in something that you haven't had success at or you haven't done. I wouldn't be confident playing electric guitar if I've never picked up a guitar. So if you're asking someone who has never found healthy, lasting love to talk about what it's like to be in love, if you've talking to someone who doesn't have much dating experience or positive dating experience to envision what it looks like to do this well, it's all really intimidating, just like anything new that you try for the first time. So my job is to hold people's hand through what is often a really scary and intimidating process.
Yeah. I mean, I do a lot of work with women and with widows and women who have been married a long time and divorced, and they're always scared. And I remember feeling really scared too. I remember looking in the mirror at my body thinking like, what? I've had two kids, my body is different. Am I going to be attractive to a man, you know, after being married for 25 years, you know? And it is.
And you quickly discovered, yes.
Yeah, well, I was only 43, so nothing was in too bad a shape then. But at 60, things change a lot more. Sure. And, you know, the older you get, the more you feel like, wow, you know, want to find a man that, you know, just really loves you the way you are, but also respects, you know, where you are in your life, too. And it is even scary, I have to say, getting older and dating, you know, every time I'm single, again, I'm like, oh, God, here we go again, you know, and that's happened to me a bunch of different times throughout my dating career since my husband died. You know, I've been single many times, and doesn't usually last too long. Like, I'm usually like, I'll meet a high quality man and then I'll date him for a couple of years and see where it goes. And if it doesn't go anywhere, then I'm like, okay, I really like you, really love you. And, you know, it's time to move on. And there isn't, I want to just say to all of you listening, like, I know that's not what a lot of you are looking for, but after coming out of a very long-term marriage and partnership that really worked well and was beautiful, beautiful experience, for me, I have a criteria that I kind of check the boxes off, you know, and it kind of goes something like, am I attracted to him? Do I like him as a person? Do I think he's got some valuable insight to offer me? Will I have deep conversations with him? Is he fun? You know, there's a bunch of different things like that that I check off. And is he interesting and interested? You know, is he engaging, but does he engage? You know, these are the kinds of things that I ask myself to look at. And if they check the box off, and I say, well, you know, I'll give it a try. You know, I'll spend some time with him and see
Would you be open to hearing another perspective in addition to what you bring to the table?
Absolutely. I would love to.
All right. So you and I, whether, you know, it's apparent or not, have something in common. We're knowledge seekers. This is stimulating. I could do this with you for 5 hours, right? Like, yeah. I love this kind of conversation. Problem, and again, it is a problem, is that this can be overrated. This doesn't necessarily make for a great relationship because you can do this. And so if I could give you 5 or 6 additional criteria that you can use first and then layer yours on top of mine.
Okay, go.
Character, kindness.
Well, that's a big one. No, those are big. I didn't get to those, but they're big.
Mine are the big ones. Everybody else's are the second tier. Here's
yeah,
the
no,
first
you're
tier.
Right. Character and kindness are definitely
kindness,
huge. Yeah.
Consistency. Mm-hmm. Communication.
That's huge.
Commitment. Connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are big ones.
Right. So it doesn't mean you should be with someone you think is stupid or unattractive. But it is possible that you can have all the things that you talked about, which is why, and again, very delicately, since I don't know you or your boyfriends, it would be very easy to cycle through people every 2 years because they have the qualities that you sought, which are attractive, but they may be lacking in the qualities that take, that allow relationships to go the distance.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I do have an expanded list. And when you said those are actually more at the top of my list. I just wasn't thinking of them off the top of my head. Sure. But it isn't for me when a relationship is ready to, when I'm ready to move on, it isn't that. It's more that I find that the relationship isn't growing. And it's not necessarily the guy. It could also not be growing because of what I'm not doing or doing. So I recognize that relationship is a two-way street, you know, but that's for me, that's the golden ticket. And it's also the out, you know, it's like, if it's not growing, or if the problem, really deep problem arises, like, let's say we have totally different sex drives, or, you know, I want to travel a certain way and he can't travel that way or whatever, you know, there's certain things.
Anything could be a deal breaker theoretically, and you can't figure that all out in the first couple months of dating, right?
No.
So yes, relationships can take their course. I would posit that one can't have a serious long-term relationship if the five conditions that I outlined aren't met.
That's so true. That's a very, very powerful point.
No matter how cute, smart, funny, curious, intellectual he may be, that won't redeem those missing qualities. And most couples where they've gone through divorce, they didn't divorce because he was 5'9". They didn't divorce because he wanted sex once a week and she wanted it twice a week. They divorced because of character, kindness, consistency, communication, commitment, character.
Yeah, that's powerful. So how do you take like a woman who has never, you know, she hasn't dated in 25 years and you build her confidence, then what's the next step that you do when you work with her?
The second month of the program is on meeting men. And that is not as easy as it seems. One of the biggest questions women have, and I can understand why, is where do I go? Like there's this one place that all the good guys are hanging out and nobody's told you. And so where do I meet men is the wrong question, right? Even though it's the most common question, it's the wrong question.
So there isn't how do I meet men, right? Like, how do I open myself when I'm in the grocery store?
Who am I being?
Yeah.
Who am I being? Right. Wherever I go, why would a man gravitate towards me? Because you could be in the Whole Foods line. You could be, you know, volunteering somewhere. You could be at a friend's dinner party. You could be online. Who am I being in each of these situations? Because men are everywhere that women are.
That's true. Okay, so
sexually segregated society. We're everywhere.
Look, let's talk about that. How does a woman have to be in order to meet a man?
Let's flip it around again. Because there are universal answers. I may be a male dating coach for women, but there are universal answers. So I'll ask you, who does a man have to be for you to gravitate towards him? And you already hinted at it.
Well, I mean, he has to be, I guess there has to be some kind of attraction. You know, he has to be friendly, open, confident. But typically I know, like for me as a woman, I'm going to wait for the man to make the first move. And that's
a change of topics, but you already gave a great answer, right? You respond to men who are friendly and confident.
Yeah. Okay. Friendly and confident.
Great. And you know what? That is universal, right? Men respond to confidence. Men respond to really. If you do, you know, Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah, that's a great book.
Warmth, curiosity, openness, confidence. Like these are universal traits that make people likable, whether you're in sales, whether you're in love, whether. So when you say, who am I being? You could ask yourself, is that the way I carry myself everywhere? Not just with my good friends, because everybody's like, oh, but with my friends, I am. Well, you need to be this way with strangers on the internet. And that's a lot of people are not. So who am I being everywhere? And then there's a skill. So I do 1 week on meeting men in real life. I do 1 week on flirting. I do 1 week on online dating. And it's all, in business terms, lead generation. We're just creating opportunities wherever you go so that you can be that light that men gravitate towards like moths.
If somebody comes to you, do you help them with their dating profile too?
Oh, yes. This is a one-stop shop. We do everything. I've written over 1,000 online dating profiles. So, yes.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. That's so awesome. Well, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of women that are going to be interested in your programs that listen to my podcast, because that's like the number one thing that I hear from women who are just, they're really ready to start dating. They're scared. You know, they're very terrified. And they're like, they don't feel like they know the rules. And so it'll be really great for them to hear about your program. What's the name of your program again?
Called Love You.
Love You. And that they can find you at?
EvanMarkKatz.com. Are we closing? Should I give the URL? Because giving everybody a free gift today. So I want to make sure.
No, we'll do that at the close. I just want to make sure. Say it a couple times.
Yeah, my name is Evan Markatz. I'm a dating coach for smart, strong, successful women who have everything but the man. And I'm not here to plug myself. I'm really here to just answer your questions.
No. But I mean, I love to promote people who come on my podcast because, you know, I've looked at what you offer and it's a good fit. So, all right. So my next question is, since you do help smart, successful women, how do you help them overcome the emasculating parts of that for men?
How do you help them overcome the emasculating parts? Can I get a little more specific?
I think that sometimes men are a bit emasculated by a smart, strong, successful woman that they might feel is more successful than they are.
Got it. Okay.
Or is more established than they are, you know, I've run into this. This can be an issue or even. Yeah, that's probably the first thing about that I would say I would want to ask you.
It's a really good question. Now I understand what you're talking about. So there's always two things going on, right? Like I look at life as like a big Venn diagram. There's his experience, there's her experience. And where are we going to find the overlap between the two to find some common reality? So in reality, there are men who are genuinely intimidated by smart, strong, successful women. They are not worth your time. Right. So we're not worried about the guys who can't handle you. Right. They're lopped off. So anytime a woman's like, but men tell me I intimidate them. Okay. Then don't date those men. They're off the table. So now the better question is when I'm with a guy who's not intimidated by me, what's the reason he may not respond to me? Right? Oh, and that's more of the internal work to understand perception versus reality. Right. So one can be a smart, strong, successful woman, and we could speak the same language, right? And still have feminine energy, warm, supportive, right? It's not a competition. It's not my dick is bigger than yours. I speak more languages. I had a higher GPA. I visited more countries.
No.
Right. So you can be all the things. You could be a world beater. You could be a CEO. You still have to treat your guy with respect, even if he's less accomplished than you. And that's where, and this is the important part, Christine, that's where this process breaks down, is women are largely focused on the insecure men who are intimidated. What they're not realizing a lot of times is that they look down on men who are less accomplished. How is a man supposed to respond to a woman who looks down on him?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Although I'd say I don't feel like I've ever done that. I'm not accusing you.
I'm thinking
about the men that I have heard that from, you know, in my years of dating, that they don't call me intimidating because I'm a very feminine woman, but they do are intimidated by my life or my success. And
I think it's letting that guy know. Right. It's making it okay, assuaging his minor insecurities. I once had a girlfriend. I was just starting this business 20 years ago. And, you know, I was writing people's dating profiles for $99 a pop. It was a made up job when no one else was doing anything like that. And my girlfriend lived in Santa Monica, had a condo, was on the board of the Ronald McDonald House, worked in consulting, really different places. She's 7 years older than I am. I'm not intimidated. I want to be like that. I want my own condo in Santa Monica. So I was not intimidated by her. She was just further along in her journey than I was.
Yeah.
And so what you have to do with a guy who has less, right, chose a different career. Maybe he's a high school English teacher and soccer coach, right? It's just you can't make as much money. You have to let him know that you love him for who he is, not for what he has. And yeah, it's the way totally. That men historically have dated women, right?
Yeah, it's true.
A man doesn't need a woman who makes more money than he does. He doesn't devalue his wife because she's not as ambitious. So if women and men are equal, women have to start treating men who aren't as impressive the way men treat their wives who don't have the same resume.
That's a great point. I have another question, kind of going off into a different area. Okay. So my next question is, how many dates do you think somebody, I guess there's, that's kind of a, that doesn't, it, it, I have this one friend and she dates a lot. And, sometimes I feel like she should date the guy a couple, two or three times and just see how he is. Cause I think sometimes first dates can be awkward, but a lot of times she's just like, no, wasn't right, you know, but it was seemed like a really good person, you know? And so I always want to say, maybe you should give him a little more time, you know, give him just one or two more dates. But sometimes people, I guess, just know, don't they?
I think you know when someone's not right for you. I don't think you know when someone is right for you. I think it's pretty obvious if someone's not, and it's not fair to them to string them along, right? For the guy to take you out to dinner three times, if you kind of know on the first date, I couldn't kiss this guy with 14 beers in my system. So, and again, these are all personal philosophies. There's no right answer, but in my Love You course, week eight, we do is on first dates. And people are looking for something to grasp onto, some criteria. So I tell women, comfort, can I be myself? Uh-huh. Fun, was this a nice evening? Would I do it again? Attraction, baseline of attraction, could I theoretically see myself kissing this guy, sleeping with this guy, right? If it's not a 6 out of 10, no second date. And then you don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to talk yourself into going out with someone. There has to be a baseline of comfort, fun, and attraction. And if there's not duty dating, being polite, I rarely see that having a positive effect on anybody's life.
That's a great gauge. You know, if they're not fun, they're not attractive, they're not comforting, you don't have some sort of strong feeling one way or another about them. That's a great gauge.
You should want to go on a date. You shouldn't ever talk yourself into it. So is your friend wrong?
Oh my God,
is cycling through people too fast, but she may also be the person who's got a clearer picture. And a lot of women date a guy for like a month and they're like, why am I going out with this guy? Yeah. I would probably advise them to take your friend's advice.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's great. Okay, cool. Yeah, sometimes we talk about how it's not even worth putting on the amount of makeup or whatever, or getting, you know, getting dressed and doing all that to go out on a date that you just really don't want to go on. It's like, no, not
fun. I would rather women theoretically, right, date online for a half hour a day, talk to a handful of guys, go out on one dinner date each week, right? That's a good consistent love life instead of swiping right, going out for coffee with five randos. Right. I think dating should feel like dating, and people should have some skin in the game, and there should be some hope and excitement and anticipation prior to the date. And if you don't have that, you're probably not dating right.
What are your favorite online dating sites?
It's a good, also the same question is, where do I find the guy? It doesn't matter. I've had clients get married on every site, every app, to the point that I'm kind of agnostic, and you should be agnostic too, because everybody bounces from one to the other to the other. So how can anybody say what the best one is if everybody goes on Tinder and Bumble and Hinge and Coffee Meets Bagel and Match and OkCupid and eHarmony? It doesn't matter. There's good people everywhere. And I would say that 90% of them are not worth your time, but 10% of them are. And that's keeps you going.
Oh, good. That's so cool. All right. Well, let me think of another question I can ask you. This is so fascinating. Okay, let's talk about men. What do they go through on a first date, do you think? What are they looking for besides sex?
But I could do like a 20-minute bit on that because I find first date dynamics so very interesting, right? That Venn diagram between what men want and what women want.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's spend a few minutes talking about that because I think the mystery of where women are and men are, you know, and how they're really just they're trying to find that common ground to meet on. Let's just talk about that. What do they go through on their first date?
One thing that's worth understanding is men face much more rejection than women do. Women often don't understand that, right? It hurts when you get rejected by a guy. Men make far more of an effort. Guy goes on a dating app, he gets rejected 90 out of 100 times, right? Women don't have that experience, right? Guy is the one who reaches out, calls, plans, pays. Often not much of a reward for doing that. And so it's not to absolve men of all the horrible things that they've done and all the experiences you've had. It's to have empathy, right? Men are not your antagonists. They're not trying to hurt you. They're just as lost and lonely and confused and don't know. They're always attracted to the wrong people and things never work. And we just don't want to lose their humanity in this process. So to simplify something that is actually very complicated, men and women have different agendas on a date. Right. Most commonly, the woman's agenda on a date is to figure out in 90 minutes if he's her soulmate, which is impossible and silly, but it is still the agenda. I'm going to try to figure out what his deal is. What's his relationship life like with his ex-wife? How much money does he have? Is he generous with his money? Who did he vote for in the last election? Is he close with his kids? If he's not close with his kids, there's a problem. Did he reach for the check quickly? What kind of restaurant? Was it like a chain restaurant? That's a lot to keep in your head to figure out your entire future with a stranger, right? And it's not really effective dating technique, but it's normal. So women who have been burned by men before don't want to get hurt, don't want to waste time. They're in there like a investigator trying to solve him like a puzzle. Not a great first date.
I'm looking for more of a feeling when I meet somebody. I'm not really trying to answer all those questions because I'm just
great.
I'm looking for more of a feeling. How do I feel?
And I think that's better.
Yeah. How do I feel when I'm with him?
And then there's people who are really super insecure and their only thing is, I hope he likes me. Mm-hmm. He's cute. He's smart. He's successful. I don't want to screw this up. Right. And that's a different energy. So this mm-hmm. one is like, sitting back behind her desk with her arms crossed, like, all right, let's see what you got, big guy. And the other one is like, please, please, please pick me.
Please pick me.
And it's a spectrum, right? There's people across that spectrum, but those are the
extremes. How do you think men respond to both of those energies?
Well, we go back to the agenda, right? This is Dale Carnegie once again. When you have an agenda, it backfires, right? If I'm trying to sell you a used car, you got to get this car. I got to move this unit this month. I'll give you $500 off if you buy it today. Too pushy. Hey, Christine, welcome to my car lot. What are you looking for? Comfort, price, safety, eco. What do you need? I'll find it for you in my inventory. That's the guy who sells the car. So when people have agendas, they backfire. If your agenda is to figure out whether he's your husband, not going to work. If your agenda is, I hope he picks me, that insecurity drives people away. Right. So then we can get to the male agenda, right? And it's simpler. There's the, I hope I'm good enough. Please pick me. Are you having fun? How am I doing? Am I going to see you again? The insecure guy. And then there's the guy who's really confident and he's thinking, am I going to get some action tonight? And there's, again, once again, a spectrum of men. But if a man's going to be a good first date for a woman, he has to put aside his agenda, right? It's not about whether you're going to get laid, buddy, right? It's whether you're going to give her what she needs. So what does she need? She wants a man who's thoughtful, generous, chivalrous, as you said earlier, interested and interesting, right? Make plans in advance, confirm the date, show up on time, pick her up, shoes match the belt, near her home, polite to the waiter and maitre d', ask her questions.
Make sure you smell good.
Ask her questions. Listen to her answers. Don't hijack the conversation to talk about your evil ex, right? Maybe you know of another place you could walk to for another round of drinks after dinner. Walk her back home. Walk her to her car. Kiss her goodnight. I had a really amazing time. Can I call you tomorrow? You do that. What have you done? You've put aside your agenda. I'm trying to get laid. You've given her what she wants. And what happens? You've achieved both of your agendas. If you're the insecure guy, please, please, please pick me, right? You've impressed her enough to get a second date. And if you're the, I want to get some action guy, you keep this up, you can get some action. So you, by giving her what she wants, you get what you want. And that's the magic of Dale Carnegie. It's not, this is not mine. I just applied it to dating. So women have to put aside their agenda. If you're the woman whose goal is to figure out what's wrong with this dude, put it aside. Give him what he wants. We already know what he wants. He wants to impress you enough to get a second date. And he wants to know that he has a chance of getting some action. Your job, let him know that you're impressed and that he's doing a good job. And flirt with him and let him know that if he's a good boy, eventually he's going to get there. And so if a woman wants to know how to be a good date, it is far simpler than the list of things that men have to memorize. Look him in the eye, touch him on the hand, touch him on the knee, ask him questions, laugh at his jokes.
Yeah, lean in.
Thank him. Thank him for making plans, picking up the check, right? Show genuine interest in him, right? And if he makes a move to kiss you at the end of the night, kiss him back. And if you do those things, you will always get a second date, no matter what you look like, no matter what you do for a living. It is magic how well that works.
All right. Let's repeat that again then. What did you say? The second date.
So here's the secret. When you say what are men like, right? And we could talk all we want, and women's magazines give you so much on how to look. Of course, looks gets you in the door. If she's not attracted, it's a non-starter. But lots of guys go out with women who are attractive and there's no second date. So what's the difference? How she makes him feel.
How she makes him feel.
Right.
That's powerful. How she
And that is one thing that a lot of my high achieving women have never spent a half a second to think about.
Yeah, that's super powerful. Like, how are you making them feel on the date?
Right. Yeah. If you're making him feel like a potential criminal, like a potential rapist, like all the terrible guys you've met online, he has nothing to do with those people. So if you're bringing all of that baggage and saying, prove to me that you're not that guy. Well, that's no fun if I'm your date.
No. Yeah. All right. Well, Evan, oh my gosh, we could talk and talk. Do you have anything else you want to add to this conversation? It's been great.
I told you we could do this for 5 hours. You have a length of your podcast, but I did one that was supposed to be an hour yesterday. It lasted an hour and a half because we were having so much fun. So you could kick me out when you're ready.
Oh, yeah. Well, I usually talk with everyone for about 30 minutes, 35 minutes. I think we're about almost there. So, yeah. So I love what we've talked about. I think this is super helpful for women who are getting out there. Men, too, if you're listening. That was really helpful for men as well. So if you're getting out there and you're terrified, check out Evan's program, Love You, his podcast, Love You. I like to think of it like an adventure, you know. It's like you have to just think of it's a numbers game, isn't it? It's pretty much a numbers game.
It's a numbers game, but there's also how you play your numbers.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I love their advice.
Absolutely a skill to dating and online dating and relationships and communication. And so the idea is you would not do anything. You wouldn't build a deck in your backyard, just randomly doing it. You wouldn't just build a website from scratch, just putting in a bunch of letters and numbers. There's absolutely a skill to dating, but for some reason we think this is something we should just figure out ourselves.
Oh yeah. Or know how to do. Exactly. Yeah. That's so true.
So may I give your readers, your listeners a gift?
Yes. Please.
Okay, because I knew I was going to appear on your show. I made something special. It's called The 7 Massive Mistakes You're Making in Dating. Very specifically about dating, and it's for women. It's not that I couldn't help men, but I happen to be a coach for women. So you can go to evanmarkkatz.com, evanmarkkatz.com/sweat. And you can access this free gift. It's a 25-page PDF with some aha moments, things you're doing wrong in dating that you probably haven't even considered.
Oh my God, I can't wait to read that. And it'll be so fun for everyone to look at that. Thank you so much. We'll put that in the show notes so you don't have to, you know, copy that down perfectly. Listening to this, it'll be in the show notes. Evan, I'll have you back on again when I can really be organized about what I want to ask you and think of the next conversation we'll have. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I really appreciate you.
Thank you for having me, Christine. It means a lot.
All right, everyone, don't sweat the small stuff. We are living the big stuff. I really hope that you all get out there and make that love connection and look up Evan's programs. Definitely download that free gift. That's going to be super, super helpful. I can't wait to see some of the mistakes that I've made. And I'm sure there have been plenty. All right, thanks, Evan. Take care so much. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff podcast with New York Times bestselling author and beloved teacher, Christine Carlson. Learn more about Christine's upcoming retreats, online courses, public speaking events, and more at christinecarlson.com and don'tsweat.com.